It's 7:43. I'm Teresa Wills. On this West Virginia morning, we continue our series on how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting the state's youngest residents, including how one county is making sure thousands of students are getting fed while schools are closed.
How are you all?
How many of y'all need? Just two? One piece? Okay, there you go.
Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That story and more coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. Schools across West Virginia are closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the State Board of Education, all 55 counties in West Virginia have organized programs to provide meals for their students. In Cabell County, school bus drivers are making food deliveries daily. Last month, in the early days of the school closures, reporter Kyle Vass tagged along with staff to find out more.
It's 6 o'clock on a Thursday morning, and I'm standing in an alley behind the Cabell County Board of Education. Assistant Superintendent Kim Cooper is supervising a line of workers as they pull milk crates off a refrigerated truck.
Well, right now she's bagging up milk to go out to the different sites this morning. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 48 to 50 sites that we'll be delivering food to.
Schools are closed, but county employees have been asked to volunteer to help keep the school feeding program going. Every day they pack 9,000 meals, and county officials say this will continue for as long as necessary. Here in Cabell County, between 50 and 90% of students rely on free meals at school. The exact number varies at each school. With kids now at home, the majority of children in this county wouldn't have access to two of their three daily meals.
What time did you wake up today?
At 4. I got up at 4. We started at 5.
Rhonda McCoy is the food services director for the county. She walks me through a cafeteria where an assembly line of workers fills countless rows of white bags.
We only have a room in here for half our bags.
Oh, wow.
And we've got 1,500 in here, so we need 1,500 somewhere else.
Hey,
so
why don't I go steal a cart out of the kitchen so we put all our stuff on?
So we're going to line up tables down the hall and put more bags.
Picking up one of the bags, Rhonda walks me through what each kid will get for the day.
And it'll just be like a milk juice and some type of cereal bar, cereal, something like that for their breakfast. And then lunch, we have a sandwich, a chip, some type of chip or grain. We have fruit, vegetable, and milk.
After the lunch bags are assembled, they're put into coolers and loaded onto buses. I get on bus 814 and we head out. Above each seat is a kid's name, but the bus is totally empty, except for me, three bus drivers, and seven coolers filled with meals. We make our way down empty streets to our first stop.
They coming?
No, they're coming. I think they're ready for it.
We pull into a parking lot surrounded by apartments and immediately are met by smiley grade schoolers. A group of four or five of them rush over as soon as they see the school bus come to a stop.
How are you all?
How many of y'all need? Just two? One piece? Okay, there you go.
Have a good day. Okay.
Bye-bye.
After the line dies down a bit, a group of high school girls appears. They circle us a few times before approaching.
Good morning. How are you all?
We're good.
Oh, I don't want one.
Yes, you do. Hey, come on.
I told you they had good stuff in here.
Yeah, we got good stuff in here.
Thank you.
Here you go.
One of the bus drivers, Joey Goodpaster, cracks a few jokes with some of the kids. All the bus drivers are friendly and welcoming as they pass out the meals. Behind the scenes, however, some of the bus drivers confide that, like many others, they do have financial worries of their own. The coronavirus has put an end to field trips and special events, side gigs that help many bus drivers make their living. Driver Deborah Wyatt says that while she's thankful to have this job and happy to help feed the children, she wonders how she'll get by on less money.
I'm missing out $400 to $500 a month just because I don't get to do my midday run, you know, as long as school's not in.
These drivers have had to adjust to a new work schedule. Instead of their normal routes in the morning and afternoon, now they make several runs throughout the day delivering food across the county. To adjust to these longer hours, the county only makes them work 2 or 3 days a week. That way, the county can still have drivers out 5 days a week delivering meals without overworking any one driver. Some counties in West Virginia have shifted to delivering a week's worth of meals all in one day. But according to the Cabell County Schools Communications Director, Jed Flowers, the Board of Education here thinks it's important to deliver meals 5 days a week. They feel it's more accessible if meals can be offered every school day. But all of this is only possible because about a dozen county workers have volunteered to assemble the meals.
It just really depends on, you know, can we keep up that volunteer workforce in order to keep making 9,000 meals a day happen.
With social distancing, only about 5 cooks can be in the kitchen at once. But the assembling of those 9,000 meals a day, that's on the volunteers.
There are secretaries who might otherwise be staying home, or there are other staff members at the central office. We've had our assistant superintendents out bagging lunches and delivering them to sites.
According to Flowers, the county even sees to it that kids who can't make it to the distribution sites are accounted for.
And what we do in those situations is pretty case by case, but our social workers are working, our community and school site coordinators are working, and they're also many times taking meals right to their houses. Some of the teachers do it as well, volunteer to take those things right to the houses of those students that can't get to the transportation sites.
Good morning. How are you all? Good. You want some lunch?
The bus drivers handing out these lunches today, just like all of us, are worried about what the future holds. But you wouldn't be able to tell by looking at them. They're putting on a smile and rising to the challenge.
5 or 6 total for both of
you? For Tyler.
5 total.
Yeah.
Okay.
And thanks in part to their efforts, the kids of Cabell County will have something to eat every school day throughout this pandemic.
Yeah. He's got 3 and you got 2. I got you covered?
You all have a
all
good
right.
day.
All right. Okay. We'll be back again tomorrow, okay?
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Kyle Bass.
Shortly before schools were closed to mitigate the spread of COVID-19, the USDA proposed changes to nutritional standards for school meals. But some health researchers worry that these changes could actually undo all the progress schools have made in improving health outcomes in children. Roxy Todd spoke with one researcher who recently published a study on how school nutrition has improved in the past 8 years and why reversing these trends could be detrimental for millions of kids across the country.
In 2010, Congress passed the Healthy, Hunger-Free Kids Act, which provided funding for federal school meals and increased access to healthy food for low-income children. The new nutrition standards went into effect 2 years later. And over the next several years, researchers saw better health outcomes for children who received these meals. Schools were required to offer more fruit, more servings and variety of vegetables, more whole grain-rich foods, and less saturated fat and sodium. But this January, the USDA proposed changes that would provide what the agency described as more flexibility. It would give individual schools more control over meal plans. But critics, like the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, say if enacted, these new rules would actually make school meals less healthy, that pizza and cheeseburgers could be served more often without being required to meet nutrition standards. Megan Lott is one of the researchers who led a study from the Foundation and Duke University, which looks at how nutrition standards improved health for children who eat school meals.
The research has really indicated that the implementation of these nutrition standards, which started in 2012, have resulted in healthier, well-balanced meals, and that has had significant short and long-term positive implications for child health and academic performance. And importantly, the kids are really eating the meals and liking the meals. In fact, we find that kids or the schools that have the healthiest meals have the highest levels of school meal participation.
So the schools that are serving the healthiest meals have the highest participation of children who eat those meals?
That's right. Schools have been doing innovative things with nutrition education in the cafeteria to help guide kids in making healthier choices. And really it comes down to, you know, kids want healthy items. They want fruits and vegetables. They don't want mushy vegetables. So it's just as important that we are also providing schools with training and technical assistance to be able to learn how to cook the foods so that students will like and eat them and enjoy them as well.
Kind of goes against what we assume, that kids love, chicken nuggets and pizza, and that's it. What does that tell you in terms of why do kids want healthier things? I mean, what about it appeals to kids who we assume are pickier eaters?
You know, if you look at the research going all the way back to infants and toddlers, when you're introducing foods, the key is really repetition. The research shows it can take up to 20 times for a kid to learn to like and adapt to new foods. I think when we look at the school meal standards, it's not that different. For example, these standards went into effect in 2012. So a student who entered kindergarten that year is now in seventh or eighth grade. School meals today are all they've ever known. So for them, having this large variety of fruits and vegetables and whole grains to choose from every day is their normal.
And I know your study was conducted before schools across the nation were shut down as a result of the coronavirus, but now we're seeing this shift across the country where kids who received school meals for free are either getting bagged lunches that their school districts offer, or in some cases, you know, people in the community are serving them. How does this shift impact, in your mind, the level of nutrition that kids are getting over this quarantine period?
Well, I think now more than ever, we are seeing how vital school meals are to our society. And it's especially important that access to healthy school meals continue during the coronavirus outbreak. Kids can consume up to half of their daily calories at school. And for many of those kids, especially the ones who stand to be most impacted by the proposed changes we were talking about earlier, school meals can be their only source of healthy food.
You're a mom working from home right now, as am I. What advice do you have for parents, for grandparents, for neighbors who are essentially feeding a lot of the kids right now at home? What advice do you have for parents preparing meals in a more healthy way?
I think remembering to really focus on variety an amount at every meal, to think about each meal as an individual meal and offering, you know, half of your plate is fruits and vegetables, but also think about it in the context of the whole day. If you keep offering fruits and veggies in particular at every meal and snack, your kid is going to eat some of them and they're going to be getting really good nutrition through that. Maybe they don't eat every fruit and vegetable at every meal, but that's okay. It's about balance throughout the day. And, you know, I really encourage people to look at choosemyplate.gov. There's a lot of great messages there. There are activities for kids as well that helps them focus on the simple messages as make half your plates fruits and veggies, make half your grains whole grains, move to lower fat dairy, and really, you know, do what you can to keep offering and repeat over and over and over again, giving those fruits and veggies.
So it used to be that all grains served in schools had to be whole grain. But in 2018, the USDA changed the requirement so that only half had to be whole grain. And Lott points out that research shows that whole grains are a really important part of our diet.
Yeah, so whole grains are, I think, in simplest form, they're the unprocessed grains. So if you think about white rice versus brown rice, brown rice has an outer layer or covering around it that white rice has had removed through processing. And that outer layer, it contains a lot of vitamins and minerals, and importantly, it contains a lot of fiber. And so when you are eating whole grain foods like brown rice or oatmeal or whole wheat bread, what's happening is you're getting extra vitamins and minerals that you would not be getting if you're eating the processed versions. And your body gets full from eating less volume of that food, and you stay fuller longer because that fiber really slows down the digestion. It allows your body to take more time to absorb all the key nutrients and minerals. And importantly, you eat less throughout the day because you are really absorbing all those important nutrients.
That was Megan Lott, Deputy Director of Policy and Research for Healthy Eating Research, a national program of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. The proposed rule changes to the Healthy Food Program have been extended by the USDA until April 22nd. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.